Kia ora koutou katoa, welcome to Well with Anahila, the Labourless Member of Parliament based in Papakura in Tāmaki. It's a great afternoon today. I hope you had a great day at work. I am here with Kimi Hassan, my guest Kimi Hassan, and as you know, Well with Anahila is talking with people or women in particular about what they do for well-being. So welcome to the show, Kimi. Nice of you to be here this afternoon.
Kia ora Anahila, it's lovely to be here.
So I've known you for over a year now, Kimi, and I know that you are very busy in Papakura doing a whole lot of things, but actually I haven't had time to really talk about what you actually do. All I know is that you are married with whāngai children.
Yeah,
and maybe you could share something about yourself and then we'll talk about what you do.
Okay, I am married to Lawrence Hassan. He's Fijian. Mm-hmm. And I come from a whānau of six siblings, and I've been in Papakura for about 6 years. Mm-hmm. And also lived in Papatoa most of my life before I moved out to Manurewa and Papakura.
All right, so you've lived in South Auckland.
Yeah.
Most of your life.
Okay. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so you talked about, I think earlier I said that you had whāngai children.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. How many?
Three. Yeah. My niece, Shiana, nephew's son, and my brother's little girl, Silan, who my brother's a solo dad, mm-hmm. so I brought him in to live with me with his mm-hmm. little girl. She's 14 now.
Oh, that's great. So, like I said, I've known you for a while now, and I really don't know what you do during the day.
Well, I work for...
All I know is that Kimi's very busy in the community, helping out, whether it's at Papakura High School, working with Jibati, what's it?
Kabaddi, yeah, I manage the kabaddi
team. But I actually don't know what you do during the day, your paid work. So what do you do?
Well, my paid work is I am a national field sales manager for API Consumer Brands. Mm-hmm. So I manage all the reps for the country.
Oh, so you look after a lot of people in your role. Well, that explains your great organizational skills. And maybe you could talk about kabaddi.
Kabaddi is actually a national sport, Indian sport, mm-hmm. and through context of mine through rugby and also through my past roles, I got involved with this game, and it's been in New Zealand for a few years now, and our girls have been to World Cup twice in India, and the very first time they went was they were training for about 6 months and ended up coming losing to India in the final, and that was held in Punjab.
When you say our girls, is this the team from Papakura or a New Zealand team?
This is a New Zealand team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, New Zealand team, and that's for outdoor kabaddi. And we're off to Malaysia, mm-hmm. Malacca in July for the World Cup for indoor kabaddi.
So I have no idea what kabaddi is. You talk about it
all
the time.
You'll have to come along.
So is there a ball involved?
No ball involved. It's probably a combination of tag, wrestling, and maybe bull rush.
Okay, so you can...
Best way I can describe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many in a side?
There's seven on each team.
Mm-hmm.
And the objective of the game is to try and tag someone from the opposition team and get back to the line. Just get back to the line and score points.
All right, so when you're tagging, when you say it involves wrestling, that means you can tackle them?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
You can tackle them and hold them. Tackle and hold for about 30 seconds, and if you do that, then you win points.
How many people are in a side?
There's seven on each team on the court, and you'll have about five reserves sitting on the bench.
And is it in, how long is the duration of the game?
30 minutes each, 30 minutes each half.
Mm-hmm.
And in the World Cup this year, there's 35 men's teams and 25 women's teams.
Oh, so we did pretty well for team to go and be in the final with India, which is their national sport.
Yeah,
so we did quite well.
We did really well. So this year we're taking the boys' team as the first team time that we'll take a men's team to a World Cup, and they are majority Pacifica boys.
Okay, so. If I want to be involved in kabaddi, how do I get in touch with you?
You can go through Facebook. We've got the New Zealand Kabaddi Facebook
site. Could you spell it?
K-A, mm-hmm. B-A-D-D-I.
D-D-I. Okay.
Yep. Kabaddi.
Yep.
And one of us will make contact with you.
Okay. Is it local schools? So how did you get involved?
I got involved through Rugby Girls. They wanted to Tara Singh, who is a business owner in Manurewa and Papakura. Mm-hmm. He wanted a team to start playing, so he approached, obviously new people in, through rugby, contacted hold of our girls. Our girls decided, well, they'll go and have a try this game out, and ended up loving the game. So, and they're good at it because it's a natural flair of them to tackle.
Run. So Pacifica, so the boys team is mainly Pacifica boys, and they love it.
And actually they've done really well because for World Cup, Indoor World Cup, they have to be under 85 kilos. So many of those boys have dropped from 100. From over 100 kilos right through to 85 kilos. And they've had to maintain that because once you get to the World Cup, you get weighed.
Oh, so you get weighed before the game, game?
You get weighed before the first game, and they get weighed the day before, and then the and then before the very first game, you're weighed. And then you're not weighed anymore. So these guys have worked really hard, and a lot of them are on with different trainers and nutritionists. It's been hard for them, but they've done it. The girls are all good. They have to be under 75 kilo.
Oh, okay, that's wonderful. While we're in the topic of India, I know I've forgotten his name, but there was an Indian man who created a machine that made a sanitary pads cheaply. And through the work of Lusa Wall, the MP in Manurewa, and I can't remember the group, but they had purchased one machine to make sanitary pad cheaper here in South Auckland.
Yeah.
In South Auckland. So I know that you're now involved in that group. Maybe you could share what that does.
That's a really, really good initiative, considering I didn't know what we were doing in the first place. But
you have a reputation for getting things done, so I referred you to.
And anyway, to cut a long story short, yes, this machine was specially designed to make sanitary wear, and it's been sitting in Auckland for quite a long time. And then we finally got it moved. We needed a premises to move it to. So one of our ladies from Manurewa, Lois, she got a hold of me. I gave her a contact at Papakura High School, and we had the machine shipped there, and we've set it up there to make sanitary wear for not only the girls at school, but also for the local community. And we're just going through the process now of sort of getting involved with the school to start training the girls there to be able to make them.
So who uses the products?
The products will be, well, the community people, obviously, and also the school girls. But the beauty about these products is the, it's made from a wood pulp, so it's not a synthetic product. It's a natural product, so it's obviously a lot healthier for our for our woman, and it's quite interesting how it's made actually.
So that has have you made the products and the girls are using them?
Well, with the school, it's a little bit different because you've got to make sure that you've got all your bases covered as far as health and safety is concerned. So the community is the ones that we're making it for in the first and foremost. And then once we have sorted the process for the school girls, then they will go into the school. But it's, you know, it's a voluntary activity, so you know we've got to give a bit of time to really make sure we've got it right before we start training anyone to make them.
If there's a group out there who is interested in donating their time, how would they get a hold of you?
Probably contact myself, and there is Lois as well, which I can leave the number with you, and. And then we will arrange to be at the school and train people how to use it. I think if we can get groups, that'd be great.
That'd be a good idea. Yeah. And, so just so there was a need in South Auckland in terms of getting sanitary wear to young women,
yeah.
Young students. What I heard from the story was that some girls wouldn't attend school because they couldn't afford
yeah.
it. Yeah. So once it's made, if a group comes in, volunteer their time, they make it, who actually is the end user?
The end user will be students,
mm-hmm.
and of course around the community, if they're there also available in the pātakas,
yeah.
then that's there for the families, which in turn are for girls or women within the community in both Papakura and Manurewa.
Okay. Oh, that's great. Yeah. So we've talked about that. I know that the local board election is coming up later
yeah.
this year, and I'm informed that you are going to stand as a candidate.
Yes.
Yeah, in the local board team for Papakura. So what are the reasons why you're standing?
I think there's a few reasons,
mm.
and one of them really is about what I've seen around at our school,
mm.
and also with the children within our school and the connections we have with the parents.
Mm.
You can see that there are issues within our area that we need to be able to address,
mm-hmm.
and try and find solutions. But a lot of that is can be done by running for the local board.
Mm.
For me personally, it's about ensuring that people are proud to be, you know, to come from Papakura, and that anything that they need for themselves or their families is adequately provided for them within
mm-hmm.
within the area. You know, we have a wonderful, you know, wonderful yeah. community, but I feel that there is a lot that we can be developed for our community in order for them to see that they are proud to come from Papakura. They mm. can have great family social events within Papakura.
Mm.
They are safe in Papakura. And, you know, I can complain a lot, and as people do, yeah. but you've got to sometimes get in there in order to make sure that you do something about it rather than just talking about it.
Yeah, you in your kōrero, you talked about people feel safe to be in Papakura. Mm. Have you had feedback from others to say that they weren't safe?
Well, you only have to read what's going on our grapevine to see mm. that, you know, kids are not getting home safely, or mm. we've got groups of young people who are bored and mm. they're causing a bit of trouble. But, you know, we've got a lot of issues that are in other communities. But I think that we can do something quite quickly by introducing things such as better lighting so they can get home safe.
Mm.
Just little things in order for them to be able to feel that they are safe, and that anyone walking around the area, they shouldn't, you know, no one should ever walk around and not feel
yeah,
safe.
I was driving on Porchester Road. Was it Porchester Road? And there was a sign that said high risk, this is in Papakura, a high risk accident area. And then I looked at it and I was thinking, actually it's a roundabout in a sort of a semi-suburban area. Why is it a high risk traffic area? Then I looked around, actually there's no lighting.
Mm.
Hey,
lighting is a big one.
Yeah, because some people think that, oh, what's their problem? But actually we're just asking, well, the community is just asking for what's normal.
Yeah.
Is if there's a high, there's an accident prone area, well, wouldn't it make sense to light the area up a
yeah.
little bit?
Yeah. I
also
agree.
People can see each other. So I get what you mean. That was today. And in terms of the determination in your voice, I was also at Housing New Zealand today. And the people that talked about the new way of working with people, they actually, I said, oh, so what do you call tenants that come and live in a Housing New Zealand house? What do you call them? And they said, oh, actually, we don't call them tenants or clients. We call them whānau. I said, oh, okay. Yeah, so it's just... So what they said was just building relationship with the community,
mm.
with the whānau that are in the Housing New Zealand homes, estate houses, has actually made a whole lot of difference. And what they're saying is street lighting is one of the things that the whānau were saying to them that they need just to feel safe to send their child down to the dairy.
Yeah.
Hey, so
I mean, I've experienced that with after school rugby training with our girls, you know, and now that daylight saving is finished and just seeing how dark it is when they walk home from school, and that's just on the main road of the school.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's nuts to me. That's nuts. It doesn't take much to put up lighting in those areas, even along the alleyways, which they need to go through to get to home. But to me, that's a big one for them to be able to participate, especially at after school after school activities.
Yeah, I wasn't at the Papakura Street Fest the other day, but I saw a photo of you that you were there. How was that?
That was really good. It was good to be able to meet people and talk to people, you know, in a different environment where you're standing and just watching people go past and being able to just sort of go up and ask them how they are doing, what brought them out to the street fest on the day, and just having a general conversation and just have seen the diverse community that we have. But many of them having same issues, not even issues, but their what they love about Papakura, you know, their values, some of them are very much the same. So it was a really lot of people out there, so it was a really good morning.
What did they love about Papakura?
Just, I think, with this is the type of thing that they like. They liked to get out there and a lot of the older people that came out, remember a lot of the street fests that we used to have, they were actually called Country Days and Country Market, and that was an opportunity for them to get out and be sociable. You know, to be sociable with others within their community, and that kind of thing brings people out.
Well, I had a guest the other week. Her name was Aloma, and she talked about that she lived in Glen Innes since in her early earlier in her life, in her teen, not preteen, and they moved to Papakura. So moved to Papakura, but and also moved with her parents. The parents didn't last 3 months because they wanted to go back to Glen Innes, where they came from, because they had some sort of connection to the community. Mm. So today when I was out and about, somebody said to me that Papakura, you used to have just be farms and they used to ride horses. So really, Papakura is, there are a lot of new people moving into Papakura. So it is about making it safe for those for people new coming into Papakura, and for people just to say, well, to choose Papakura as a destination where they could live.
I agree. It shouldn't be Papakura is not shouldn't be known as a destination because you have nowhere else to go. I can't live anywhere else. Looks like I'd have to go live in Papakura. And, that's not what it's about. That's not Papakura. It's got a great history there. And you can just look at the high schools and see that the improvements that are happening at the school, and that demonstrates what's happening in our community. And so you hear about what they, what people are wanting to do. They are wanting to improve Papakura as a community, and not just a destination where you have nowhere else to go. I mean, I've moved from Papatoi to Papakura.
Yes.
Why? Because it's a neat environment. You only have Hunua Rangers on your back door. You know, we come from a place where there is so much that we can do, and we're sort of in a really good position to be able to close to our other suburbs as well.
Yeah, well, my perception of Papakura has changed because I live in Manurewa, sort of like at the edge where we connect with the boundaries of Papakura.
Yeah.
But I never really did a whole lot of anything next door, which is Papakura.
Yeah.
But just out and about talking with people, they're quite proud to live in Papakura. Yeah. I had asked the Housing New Zealand today in terms of do people choose to be in the area? Have they got a waiting list? And because that's an indication where people have asked us to be located in Papakura, and she said that they do. They do have a waiting list. Yeah. And they're continuing to try and house the whānau where they can. All right, Kimmy. So I only knew you as somebody who is active in the community. I didn't know, like I had asked you today, actually, what do you do? You have a full-time job. You coach or manage the Kipari team. You sometimes can be seen in Papakura High School with Lois making the sanitary wear. And is there anything else you're involved with in the community?
I also help coach the girls at the Papakura Rugby School.
So you're at Papakura Rugby?
Yeah. And also have been 25 years with Maniwa Rugby Club as a player, coach, manager. Mm. And also I am part of County's Māori Rugby and Northern Regional Māori Rugby.
Yeah.
And
yeah, see, that's the reason why I didn't think you had a full-time job.
Yeah. And then now and then I give, I go and talk to people about, you know, who are wanting to give a kidney, like just in the weekend.
All right, yeah.
Yeah,
see,
just in the weekend.
We'll have you back in another program to talk about your, because you're a donor.
Yeah.
You're a donor, and it's not, you had to donate to someone else who donated to your mum.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So that's a whole, we'll have you back to talk about that.
That's a whole another.
Yeah, there's a whole another kōrero. So I just want to talk a little, find out a little more something about you. So you said that your husband is Fijian.
Yeah.
But you actually didn't say about your whakapapa. Are you...
My whakapapa is, my mother is Māori and she's Ngāpuhi and my father is Australian.
Oh, you're an Aussie too.
I am part Australian.
We won't hold
well.
It against you.
No,
but
no. I'm proud of that fact, actually.
So when Australia plays, do you sing, which anthem do you feel a very emotional connection to?
I'm obviously any New Zealand team, but I have all my close family in Australia, and they know where we all sit. As far as who we barrack for. My dad, obviously, he's always on the fence for old dad.
So you were singing out on Anzac Day. We had the Australian
National. I was actually quite proud to sing
the Australian National Anthem.
Yeah, well, my grandfather was in the Australian Navy.
Yeah.
So my connection on that particular day is in honour of my grandfather.
Right, so and Anzac Day, Papakura, all of us were wondering, well, why are we singing the Australian National Anthem? But there you were, so proud to singing the both your whakapapa. All right, so it's Ngāpuhi, how's Ngāpuhi with the treaty claims and how's that coming along? Are you involved in that?
I'm not involved in that. I keep a close ear to that. Mm. And it's always interesting where we're at. Yeah. 1 minute we're moving streets ahead and next minute we're backtracking. I think we've got a lot of people there who want to have an input into the negotiations. But I think we will get there. I think it's something that needs to be dealt with properly. And so I believe that, you know, if you ask me, do I believe we have the right people? I don't know.
Yeah.
I have reservations about certain people, but what I'm really behind is hapu involvement.
Mm. Mm.
And having their say and having good representatives on our hapu to, to give their input.
Yeah, well, most of us who are non-Ngāpuhi won't have a clue what that involves, but it's good that you're keeping an eye on it and you're involved, because sometimes we can be spectators of our own things that involve us, but good to hear that you're doing. So anyway, I was coming back to finding out what do you do for well-being, because, you know, this is like Well with Anahila.
Yeah, so well-being, so I mean, we can go...
What do you do?
Well,
yeah.
for as far as well-being, there's probably a few areas, and one of them, first one would be around, particularly with the sporting side of things, and dealing with our youth at the school, and it blows my mind of how many of our young people within our schools that are so unfit.
Yeah.
At their ages that they are
physically unfit.
Physically unfit.
Yeah. So do you think, is it obviously for lack of physical activity, but do you think that's the signs of the times with technology? Is it? Does I that think impact it,
yes and no. If we look back to when I was in high school, we had no technology, but sports was quite encouraged. And, I mean, your variety of sports that you have now is so vast that for young ones, there's a lot of options out there for them. But I think it's the fact that they are not interested because of how sport is motivated in schools. I think Papakura High have got it pretty good. And they are looking at all sports across the board. I think the issue is trying to find people actually to coach them. But that's the involvement. It's not only just the game. It's about encouragement into the game, and then as a outcome, they get that physical activity going on. And so when we're around the girls, you know, we're really trying to encourage them that it's not just turning up to practice that is going to get them fit. It's just doing everything outside of school, which is what they eat, how they eat.
Just being disciplined, eh?
Yeah.
And knowing, it's so normal for you to talk about other people. We're sort of like coming to the end of our kōrero today. We'll have you back so you can talk about the kidney transplant and that program of getting donors. But this is coming back to you in terms of what do you do for well-being, for your own. Like, we had Aloma before, and Aloma talked about just going home and jumping on the trampoline with her child was something that she likes doing. Yeah, so what does Kimmy do?
So what do I do apart from running around with the girls on that training and trying to show them what to do at my age? Jeepers. Falling on the ground and trying to set the ball, you know, that keeps me going. It keeps me... But one of the things, I've done CrossFit for a while, and after I blew my knee out last Anzac Day, actually. And so I've been on recovery, but I've got my own gym at home, and a very good friend of mine, Ian, Tohunni, his wife, she is in the wider team for the Black Ferns. Well, she trains all of us. So so she will give us a call, and we go up to my place where we do a circuit at home, and that's with myself and her husband and the kids, and we do that regularly. And then I'm out at a lot of the other trainings and trying to run with the girls or do what I can. But I've always done some sort of fitness throughout my life, and it's necessary for me. I can't just sit at home and do nothing.
Yeah, you seem like the type that...
Always on the go.
Always on the go. Most women that I've spoken with have a partner. Do you spend time with him, or is he just... You're at work, you're at the sports field, you're out crossfitting. Is there time?
Lawrence is a very quiet, introverted Fijian, and you know Fijians are naturally, many of them are introverted.
Yes.
And so Lawrence played top, you know, level rugby most of his life, and then at the end of his career I started mine. So he became my biggest supporter, and he works, you know, he works his day, but he comes home, and I think he lives all his activity through me. He's just naturally fit. I don't know what it is, but it's that gene that they had. He's naturally fit. So he doesn't have to do anything, you know.
Yeah.
But he's encouraging in everything that I do, you know.
Thank you, Kimmy. Well, it's been a great kōrero this afternoon. Everyone out there, if you didn't know, you're listening to Well with Anahila. Our guest today is Kimmy Hassan. Kimmy lives in Papakura and works all over Auckland. And as you've heard, supports a lot of initiative or programs with our kids, and she is going to stand as a candidate for the local board in Papakura. We wish Kimmy well in terms of all her endeavours. If you'd like to get a hold of Kimmy, Kimmy's phone number is
021-917-056.
And you're on Facebook, Kimmy, eh?
Yeah.
What's your name on Facebook? Because most people have different names.
I do. I'm actually under Dub H Kim now. I got that as a I don't know, I changed it because So it makes it harder.
WH Kim.
WH Kim. Stand for Fire Kim.
Oh, Fire Kim.
Fire Kim. WH Kim.
One last word before we end today.
One last word. Let's be safe out there. Fish on our roads.
That will end our conversation today. You've been listening to Well with Anahila. Anahila Karungata Suisuiki, the Labour List MP based in Papakura and Tāmaki, and of course Kimi Hassan. We wish you to have a safe day today. Ka kite.
Ka kite.